Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most. This is Rose Unplugged.
This podcast episode is brought to you by MyPillow. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and you know you do it. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology, 100% made in the USA, 10-year warranty, promo code ROSE, MyPillow.com, promo code ROSE. Joining me today on Rose Unplugged is Mark Morano. He's the publisher of ClimateDepot.com and the author of The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Doing well, Rose. Thank you. We're fighting the new PSYOP hitting us. The COVID PSYOP ending, climate PSYOP is here. So we're trying to expose it.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. When you're talking about the climate, right? And now what they're calling global boiling and how it's replacing warming. So it's getting really bad out there. I just want to know, does that mean we'll have a mild winter here in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Yeah, usually when they make their predictions, they're usually... everything collapses on them and the opposite occurs, and every major prediction they've ever made going back to the 1960s has utterly failed. But what it means is everything that we've been, this is a psychological operation we've been subjected to. It's weaponized information, weaponizing every weather event. We used to be told that one cold day or record cold in the winter or blizzard was not climate, that that was just weather because you need long-term trends. Yet we know that the UN reports that hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, droughts, wildfires, even heat waves are either no trend or declining trend on climate timescales. This is baked in the UN reports. Biden's own EPA shows the 1930s as hotter than today. 75% of state records, high temperatures, happened before 1955. So how does a climate activist handle this? They pick one city, Phoenix, which, like all modern cities, corrupted with heat urban island effects. But regardless, it broke its record from last set of heat in 1974. What happened the last time Phoenix was this hot? We were going through the same exact week that they broke that Phoenix had similar temperatures was the same week Time magazine was warning of man-made global cooling coming ice age. And no one was warning that Phoenix was on record heat back in 1974 because of the ice age or because of global warming. So they also went on about global boiling, the hot tub temperatures of the ocean, the Washington Post. Turns out it was one temperature station, not even in the ocean, off the coast right near Florida, in shallow, murky water full of sediment that even NBC News had to debunk, CNN. And they actually interviewed a meteorologist who said this is not indicative of anything. This isn't even the hottest temperature at this temperature gauge in the last 6 years, let alone boiling ocean hot tubs. But it doesn't matter. They got their headline all over the world. Boiling oceans. Oceans are hot tub temperatures. And Antarctica, they're saying that it's the lowest sea ice ever measured. All that's happened in Antarctica is winds have whipped up and compressed the ice. If you look at the total amount of ice, the ice volume, it's about the same level as it was in the early 1980s. But they've got a huge headline out of it by saying the extent, the coverage of the ice. So if you put a bunch of ice cubes in a bowl and you squish them together in the middle, you say, look, there's so much less ice because I can see around the edges now. That's what's happening in the Arctic. And they got that headline, that Arctic ice, record low, Phoenix, record high, ocean boiling. All of it weaponized. If you go through it one by one, the hottest temperature in 100,000 years, even NOAA or the government agencies had to back away. It was based on models coming out of activists in Maine University. I mean, every single thing that we've heard in the past month was utter and complete nonsense designed to make us submit to the Great Reset, the Green New Deal, UN's net zero agenda. That's it. It's all designed to make us do things we would never otherwise do unless we were panicked.
And you're so right about that, too, because one of the headlines in the New York Times was that climate change may make summer vacation a thing of the past. They want that to be a thing of the past. They don't want you driving around and to a destination for a summer vacation, do they? They're trying. This is part of the PSYOP as well, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Okay, here's the interesting thing. The New York Times is claiming because of our carbon dioxide emissions and our previous travel. Remember, they're already on record, not the New York Times, but climate activists, as in a declared climate emergency, you cannot fly unless it's morally justifiable. That was Eric Holtice, major climate activist. And they're also urging NASA scientists, AOC, Chuck Schumer, urging Joe Biden to declare a national climate emergency, which would give him 130 executive powers by which to bypass democracy. A la COVID, it would extend to mayors and governors. You could close gas stations. You could restrict cars. You could restrict travel again. You could do whatever you want. Like, France has already banned flights of less than 2.5 hours. EU is considering bans of up to 6 hours. That's a climate lockdown in action. Already happened. We're living in it. Not some that could, might it happen. So what the New York Times is saying is vacations, it's become, the weather's become so extreme, you can't leave your house. And in the article, the New York Times, not making this up, they actually suggest in there that you may have to huddle around your air conditioner at home instead of going anywhere. And they interview a family who did just that. Now, the East Coast and the West Coast elites are having a battle here, though, Rose, because the LA Times just a few weeks ago suggested an occasional blackout would help solve global warming and said we won't have a choice. They're going to use blackouts to stop climate change. Well, the LA Times suggested that you can't turn up your air conditioner and huddle around it at home because they don't think that individual homes, the planet can afford individual homes having that kind of comfortable air conditioning. Instead, they suggest that we have transportation, public transportation to take us to community cooling centers would go to cool off during the heat of the day. Now, this is a battle between the New York Times, the East Coast elites, and the West Coast elites. It kind of reminds me of the old rapper battle, the East Coast rappers versus the West Coast rappers we had back in the 90s. I don't know who's going to win, but my guess is the LA Times because the Biden administration is now restricting air conditioner fluids. That's going to make air conditioners more expensive and thus using them less.
God help us. Honest to God. And then, you know, part of that, I think it's the same story where the New York Times warned of scorching heat, fires, floods, tornadoes, and hailstorms. And I'm like, don't we have that all the time? Is that something new? I mean, God help us.
No, it's what they do. This is the lottery method. Okay. Your chance of winning the lottery, yours or I chance, is very low. Hey, but the odds of someone winning somewhere are very high. Your chance of winning a slot machine, very low. But the odds of finding a slot machine winner somewhere, very high. So what do they do with those lottery winners, slot machine winners in a casino? They put them up on a giant board. You walk in, you see pictures of people with the big cardboard checks winning $10,000, $100,000, right. This one won $800,000. You see the Mega Millions. What impression does that leave you when you walk in the casino? You start thinking, I need to play slots. Everyone's winning at slots. Or when you play the lottery, look at all these winners. Everyone's winning. This is unprecedented. This is record winning. Look, I've never seen this many winners. That's exactly how the government and the media weaponize our weather. They give you the impression that everything you're seeing is unprecedented, that this is all just record amounts, when the opposite is true. As I mentioned, on every extreme weather timescale, it's less frequent. When CO2 was lower in the atmosphere, we had more heat waves. We had more and worse and more frequent and more powerful hurricanes. We had worse tornadoes. We're on a decline from big tornadoes from the 1950s. Global droughts, global floods, all on declining or no time scale on 50 to 100 years. That's the bottom line. And to the extent that global warming is man-made or natural, we know that it's making the winter deaths decrease because the biggest killer of people by 8 times over heat is cold. So by having slightly milder winters, we're saving 120,000 lives a year. So to the extent global warming is doing anything, it's saving lives. Joe Biden lied that extreme heat is the biggest killer. It's not. Cold is the biggest killer.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, I got to switch gears here for just a minute because one of the things that I care about so very much is pizza. And these crazy climate people
yes.
have got their panties all in a twist and in a knot because people are using wood-burning stoves to make pizza. And I've got a friend in New York City who owns a very successful restaurant. And part of the menu is pizza. And I'm going to tell you, he makes a pistachio pizza like you wouldn't believe. But this is madness. It really is. So once again, New Yorkers are going through it. They had to do it with Bloomberg when he wanted to ban soda sales over 16 ounces because it was for our own good. And now they've got Hochul's gas stove and furnace bans in that state. Again, for our own good and the good of the climate, of course, Mark. So now when you did a breakdown on this, and you really showed that what the pizza stoves, those ovens are doing, and they've been doing it for years, by the way, and suddenly there's an issue with it. But you did a breakdown and you compared it to John Kerry's private jet and how much carbon it burned in less than a year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, these wood-burning stoves and coal-burning stoves, the first thing to note is that this is Mayor Adams in New York, and he's actually talking about reducing carbon footprint. And they're also claiming it's a public health threat. Like suddenly pizza now, pizza ovens are killing people. That's it. Just like agriculture. We've had agriculture for thousands of years and animal agriculture. But suddenly 2023, the earth can't handle eating meat. We can't handle fertilizer. We can't handle crop production. We have to make it all in laboratories and lab grown meat and 3D printers. Okay. So in New York City, though, what they're doing is they're forcing 100-year-old plus restaurants that have been using these same wood-burning and or coal-burning that gives New York pizza the most unique flavor in the world and made it legendary. They're forcing New York City public health bureaucrats to come in, fine you, inspect, force you to get $20,000 plus retrofitting emission regulators on each pizza oven that these small businesses can't afford. Or if they can, it's going to raise the price huge, and they're going to be facing fines and compliance commitments and all sorts of paperwork and regulatory, all to save the planet and allegedly mitigate the public health threat. The pizza owners went nuts. And here's the thing. I did the analysis here. Right? This was in the New York Post. One pizza oven would have to burn for almost 1,000 years, 849 years, to equal 1 year of John Kerry's private jet travel.
Wow.
So that's the question. If you're really worried about the carbon footprint of pizza ovens, why not go for the low-hanging fruit and force John Kerry on the commercial jet? I'd love to see that. Commercial airlines.
Well, I mean, and this is insane. So, I mean, this is really happening, though. It's almost a done deal. Is that right? In New York.
The latest is the pizzas. They fought back so hard. They went to the governor's mansion, threw pizzas over the governor's gate. The pizza people went on a huge offensive. They had pizza cookouts. They got the public riled up. The Mayor Adams was forced to meet with the pizzeria owners. And as of right now, I think they've either delayed it or there's enough public pressure to maybe prevent this. But it just gives you an example. Gas stoves, gas furnaces, heaters. Mayor Bloomberg of New York did a report a few years ago. It's called C40, of all the mayors, and also IKEA and Google signed on, saying that the carbon footprint of our clothing had to be reduced. And they literally scenario by 2030 of limiting 3 new items per clothes per person to meet the net zero climate goals. This is the work. Hospital, Politico magazine. Hospitals are going green, are going to become climate change fighting machines. Literally limits on water for surgeons scrubbing up for surgery.
Oh, that's
water
perfect.
Timers on.
Nice.
American Cancer Society worried about the carbon footprint of cancer care. Limits on anesthesia to reduce its carbon footprint. So remember Platoon, 1987, Oliver Stone movie, the famous scene. The guy gets shot and they're like, take the pain, because they didn't want him to scream. Well, you'll be taking the pain at your next operation or visit to the hospital because they're no longer caring about patient care as number one. Or profits, this is about saving the planet. And that's according to Politico. And they have all these examples. It reads like a parody, but it's true. Would you go to a doctor who's worried about your carbon footprint of your medical care or worried about you as a patient?
Oh, my God. This is so frightening. You know what? It reminds me of all those movies of the future where everything is gray and barren and, you know, they're wearing the same clothes, you know, for a year. And it's just, it's so scary when you think about it. And when you bring that up about the new items of clothing, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember reading something about the centralized digital currency and some of the things that they were talking about, those elites, are that you'll have so much time to spend so much money. And if you don't spend it in that amount of time, it doesn't carry over. I mean, they want complete control of purchases, of your money. I mean, we are going to be living, this takes socialism to a whole new level, lower level.
It really does. We saw what a central bank digital currency looks like when the Canadian Freedom Convoy protesting the COVID theater mask mandates and vaccine mandates in Canada, what Justin Trudeau did, he declared them for the first time in Canadian history, invoked the Canadian Emergencies Act and declared them domestic terrorists, these peaceful protesters, the truckers who were upset at the vaccine mandates. He literally picked up the phones and called the insurance agency and said, these are terrorists. I want you to stop insuring them. And these are called up the banks and said, I want you to cut off access to their own money. Keep in mind, it wasn't like Trudeau cut off access to government services right. or their pension, government pension. He cut off access to them having access to their own money in their own private bank account. Well, we learned bank accounts aren't private then. This is corporate right. government collusion. And it's central bank digital currency. And we know that the UK Telegraph quoted the Bank of England saying the quiet part out loud. Central bank digital currency means government can control and ensure that you spend money on only what government deems sensible. So if you want to buy meat, tobacco, gas, spend your money on a vacation, that's not going to be considered sensible. We also know that the UN has already teamed up with MasterCard to do a credit card that monitors your carbon footprint and cuts off your ability to spend money when you hit your carbon max. That is the future of central bank digital currency, corporate government collusion, government having total control over how you spend your money. As I noted in my book, The Great Reset, you don't need modern day gulags and barbed wire fencing and guard towers. All they need to do is they can deperson someone and enslave them, if you will, by canceling, defunding, taking away their ability to spend money, their ability to own property, their ability to have any voice and free speech rights. And by golly, they will do it because it's for your own good. It's left to our own devices. They actually believe that we will create inequity, racism, a climate crisis, destroy the earth, that they need to monitor, manage every aspect of our lives. And they are advancing on that agenda as we speak every day. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of restrictions coming out, not just from our appliances, but from, as I mentioned earlier, the travel and now, of course, the food restrictions going directly at our high-yield agriculture and our meat eating.
And I want to talk about that real quick because we're talking to Mark Morano, publisher of ClimateDepot.com, where you can find all of this and more, frankly. He's also the author of The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. I have to talk to you about this. I know you wrote about it, but in Ireland, and they're selectively slaughtering 200,000 cows, not all at once, about 65,000 over the next 3 years, so they can meet climate goals. This is astounding. And if this is happening there, how long before it happens right here in this country?
Well, John Kerry just signaled last month in July that it's coming here.
Wow.
And by two ways, going after high-yield agriculture like they did in the Netherlands, like they did in Sri Lanka, and going after the meat eating. So they're going after methane, and they're going to make climate compliance laws are going to severely restrict, especially small independent farmers, from even competing in the game. And this is what's happening. We already know that China's bought out North Carolina sausage plants, and they now control that. You know, they're controlling that whole industry. China is buying up American farmland. Bill Gates is still the number one single largest farmland owner. His stated goal is to make the entire Western world eat synthetic beef, which is either the vegetable oil, disgustingly processed fake meat that you see made out of for vegans, or the lab-grown meat made from stem cells from a cow, sheep. They get the fetal blood, mix it together in a petri dish, put it in a steel vat, let it fester for a few months, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, one of those pods
so
growing.
Gross.
There's no bone structure. This is just like a muscle fat mass, and they inject it with antibiotics and food coloring and dyes. And then they get it. I have videos of this at Climate Depot. They get it and turn it into like a taffy substance in a factory.
I can't.
And they turn it into long strings. And then they add all the right coloring and mixture. And then they put it on a 3D printer and print it up. And voila, you have your dinner. Hey, honey, what's for dinner? Oh, I'm printing it up right now. It takes about 7 kilograms an hour to print up your meat.
Because I don't have a gas stove to cook it in. But you know what? The lab-grown meat still requires animal death, okay? Because the current cell medium being used in the process contains fetal bovine serum, which is derived from the blood of a dead calf. Oh, my God. These people are freaking crazy.
It's not fake meat. It is real meat, but it is killing living cells, but it doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have bones. I mean, it's a Frankenstein. It's truly the word Frankenfood would come to mind when you're thinking of it. It's engineered. And here's the thing. Bill Gates investing billions, Richard Branson, billionaires investing billions. Guess what the U.S. government, how they responded? It was just approved for the chicken part of this, for human consumption just a couple months ago. So, hey, maybe they have some good lobbyists. You think a few billionaires can't get the government to do whatever the bleep it wants?
Exactly. And I guess they're going to start by selling it to this fake food to restaurants. Oh, I can't wait till that restaurant opens up. And here's something else, too. There was they call a preprint, and it wasn't peer reviewed yet, but there was researchers at the University of California. They found out that the lab grown or this cultivated meat that we're talking about has an environmental impact. And it may be at a magnitude that's higher than retail beef. So what they're what happens. Their carbon footprint might be potentially worse than the retail beef, basically.
Yeah, up to like 20 or 25 times worse. And the same thing was actually found in a study at Carnegie Mellon about organic food. People are, oh, we got to go vegan, organic, get rid of this high-yield modern agriculture that's feeding the world. And they found out that that was actually a higher footprint because you need more land because organic has less yield per acre than conventional fertilizer-based farming. So what does that mean if you need more land? You're clear-cutting trees, you're endangering species, you're limiting farmland. It's incredible how everything they claim is you can turn it on its head and use their own science against them. This thing about Bill Gates' lab-grown meat having a higher carbon footprint was done in the New Scientist and in these liberal academic journals. It wasn't done by, libertarian conservative skeptics.
Right.
Their own people, and believe me, they will probably be shut down. Bill Gates has the kind of influence.
Yes.
To shut down any journal that's going to keep with that kind of a message because he's not going to jeopardize his investment. By the way, Bill Gates, just so we understand, largest single donor to the World Health Organization.
Yes.
With his Belinda Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates and also with his Gavi organization. And the World Health Organization was also the biggest cheerleader of China. They sent a sham investigative committee. If you want to stop a virus, do what China did. Bill Gates is also America's number one farmland owner. He's also involved in the lab-grown meat. He's also involved in blocking the sun by injecting chemicals through Harvard University. He's investing billions in that. Pretty much everything we're talking about today, Rose, Bill Gates is at the center of the axis of evil of all of this we're talking about.
He is. But listen, remember earlier you said if you're morally – if what you're doing or your purchases or your behavior is – morally justifiable. And he even said back in February, because somebody had asked him about flying his private jet, and he said it doesn't make him part of the problem because he invests billions into fighting climate change. So it's okay.
And carbon offsets. Yes, that.
Yeah, carbon offsets.
That's what John Kerry said. Did you know who – John Kerry went to Iceland to get an environmental award. Same reaction as Bill Gates. He said, you know who I am. I'm doing such important work. I have to fly private. Well, Bill Gates took it further and said he's buying carbon offsets. Well, Al Gore has used that excuse for – 2 decades plus. Al Gore's entire film, and I did this, was back in 2006 or 7 when I looked into this, his entire movie, Inconvenient Truth, which he won the Oscar for, he literally settled that for, I think it was under $1,000 for carbon offsets. And if you watch that movie, it's Al Gore flying to Europe, flying all over the country, Al Gore in airports, Al Gore being driven around. So the idea is a carbon offset is a very cheap way. You can just give money. It's like an indulgence. And then suddenly the problem goes away. But what's interesting about it is typically these carbon offsets pushed by the Hollywood celebrities and others, they buy up land in Africa and then tell poor Africans, you can't develop this land because rich white liberals in Hollywood and in the United Nations and other places have to do something for the earth. So they're preserving Africa as it is, which is misery, poverty, and death, given its current economic situation with Africa. And by the way, one last insane point here. If I was an African leader and I had a choice to choose working with China or working with the United States, I choose China. Now, I sound like the Tom Cruise, I choose you, the Jerry Maguire movie. But if you look at it, what has the United States offered Africa other than lectures? Restrictions on the development, cutting off of fossil fuels, a new form of colonialism. We send Janet Yellen there to go to huts made of dung and praise Africans. We just had Kamala Harris go to Africa. I think it was Tanzania or Zambia, and tell the local people that they're doing it right with their primitive form of farming and not using modern methods that harm the earth.
Wow.
Meanwhile, China comes in, and yes, they will be enslaved by China, and they're going to owe money, and China's a horrible country. However, They bring in airport infrastructure, jobs, money. They pour money to the local politicians. China is transforming parts of Africa and modernizing it overnight. And the United States thinks, well, you can't develop like we did because the earth can't handle it. That's why we're losing in Africa to China.
Yeah, exactly. You make a good point. It's like choosing the lesser of two evils almost at this point. I have no doubt, Mark, that they are bent on making all of this a reality for us. And one of the reasons I'm guessing that Bill Gates likes the idea of preventing the sun from shining on all of us is because then we can't grow, right? That affects our agriculture.
Yeah, good question. He's injecting these chemicals into the atmosphere to block the sunlight and essentially dim the sky so that the sun heats the earth less. He's simulating, large volcanic eruptions and or aerosol. That's what they thought in the 70s was causing global cooling. Aerosols from our fossil fuels were going up in the atmosphere, blocking the sun. He wants to mimic that. By the way, before fossil fuels caused global warming, fossil fuels caused global cooling in the 70s. They thought all of our emissions were creating these aerosols, which is now what Bill Gates wants to artificially recreate and inject it in the atmosphere. And the Biden administration, once again, hey, how about that? He got the ear of our government officials. They're pursuing this and looking into it.
Unbelievable. Thank you for all of the work that you're doing, Mark. For anyone that's been listening, you can always check him out at climatedepot.com. He's the publisher there, and he's also the author of The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Mark, you are so on top of all of this, and I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rose. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.